I see people as people. I don't care what your level of hierarchy is, whether you're an intern, whether you're the CEO, the CTO, whatever. I see people as people. When they're listening to each other, they're human with each other. And this is the part I love because then we can just be, we can be ourselves and get things done. I wondered, I'm like, I'm not the best communicator for different reasons in terms of speaking. So why is it that I'm able to be successful in my job? And I think looking back, it was because I had spent a lot more time listening and making sure that different voices were heard. And I think that's why that happened. All I was doing was seeing a person as a person. I wasn't doing anything else. And yet, just by doing that, had a much larger impact than what I realized.
Hello and welcome to The Empathizer, the podcast for more mutual understanding in our society. My name is Sebastian Kremser and I listen to my guests to understand what moves them. Today I listen to Raquel. She talks about the power of listening, how she developed the skill and how it unconsciously helped her to succeed in her job. She has studied interpersonal communication and she describes the alchemy and magic of listening. When we listen to each other, we experience each other and then we begin to see each other as human beings. A full and profound episode about listening. And now have fun listening. Welcome today to the podcast Empathizer, Raquel. Did I say it right?
You can say Raquel in
Raquel.
Spanish or Raquel, either one,
Raquel,
whatever's
Raquel.
easiest.
Okay, we'll see. So, welcome to the podcast today. And as usual, I ask you at the beginning too, what is the topic which is moving you, which is very important for you, and you would like to be heard with?
That's a great question. I think I didn't think about this beforehand. I would say that one topic, and we can see if there's other topics, is about listening and leadership. And the complexity of that, as well as even if we're well-intentioned, actually, it's much more complex than what we often realize.
So listening and leadership is your topic and the complexity behind it. So what does it mean specific?
I work a lot with leaders with coaching and training, and you hear a lot of stories and the challenges. Also, once listening is used, how that can transform situations. So you see, hear all these good things, and we know that it's important. For example, when people are preparing for a meeting, or they're preparing to facilitate a meeting, preparing what needs to be prepared ahead of time, knowing the key messages, knowing the decisions that need to be made, or whatever. And then, yet in that moment where they had a challenge, is they had that so much in their mind, they missed out what happened in the moment. So, being able to be prepared, but then in the moment, be fully present to adapt to the situation is an enormous strength. And then all of a sudden, you see what's needed. And so when they say, oh, that worked, that worked. Or I have this little voice that tells me, don't say anything, wait, these little voices. And then something happens and the team felt valued. Anyway, they see all the benefits that come out of those situations. So that's a good thing. Then you have the situation where listening can often we're expected to be able to think quick, answer quick. The perception is if I don't answer quick, then I won't be perceived as smart. And learning that that's actually a myth, that actually pausing and taking a moment to think about the question before answering or taking a day to answer, actually, people trust that more. So doing that is really important. So these are things that I hear, and I hear people getting out of them. And so here I am, a listening leader too, right? I'm teaching people this, I'm coaching people this. And yet, in the reality, this stuff does work, and it can work in an amazing way. And at the same time, even recently, I've had experiences where even if I make efforts to really use listening circles and listening to at scale, using surveys and focus groups and making decisions that are based on the majority versus the minority, you know, and really catalyzing some of those processes, or before I react to something, I talk to a couple people and have them listen to me. I get their perspective. So I'm not just making decisions or saying things according to my biases, but I'm getting other perspectives because I always change. So really making that effort and seeing how it excites people and brings community and builds things. And yet there's a small amount of people who don't like change and feel left out no matter what. And so I see the complexity of leadership. How is it as leaders, especially when we're working with an organization or working with a team, where we really pay attention to that collective listening and at the same time recognize that not everybody will feel listened to, because there's a perception that if you don't do what I say, then I'm not being listened to, which is not actually the case. And even trying to explain the decisions in relation to what you listen to and all that, it works most of the time, but it won't work always when it comes to, you know, when people have agendas and whatnot. So those are a couple of things I've been thinking about. And the other thing I've noticed, especially with people who really want to, who I would say are more silent leaders or introverts, or people who really do listen and are very good at what they do, but they're not the ones that talk and dominate, that sometimes when decisions or things are being discussed, that they will get quiet. And quiet means disagreement, doesn't it? You know? But the perception of the one speaking is that quiet means agreement. And I don't know if they're fully aware of that. And so I've been also playing around with techniques and thinking about how can we make sure these voices are also heard in the moment, or even sometimes people need time to think about things before we make decisions. So giving that time to reflect and come back with a more meaningful, more critically thought through, critically thought through message or thoughts or questions, so that are in the long term, probably better for the organization or better for the team overall. Anyway, I know that's a little bit deep and complex, but you asked what was on my mind.
Yeah.
And this has been really on my mind the last couple weeks, even more so than normal.
I would suggest it's a long time that you're thinking about this. So what I got from you when I'm listening to you is that the power of listening and being heard is the topic that moves you?
Yes, the power of listening and being heard is a huge topic. I guess if people are listening to this for the first time, they don't know. I've always been involved in communication. I studied interpersonal communication. And what I learned in university was like active listening and paraphrasing, these types of things, the very basic stuff.
What I'm doing here in the podcast too.
yeah, exactly. And so I've been in that world for a long time. But later in life, when I became a coach, that gave me a whole different understanding of what listening means. You know, listening, helping people think through things so they can be smarter or take action or, you know, make meaningful, intentional decisions and whatnot. Also living in another country where I first moved here and I could not understand the language. And I had to listen in with my whole body, senses, things I observed. When people say the words matter, they do matter. But sometimes we also have to learn how to listen without understanding all the words. And so being able to listen at layers beyond words. And so playing with techniques of listening, I thought I was pretty good at it and I wanted to help others, kind of similar to what you're doing here. And then it's funny, we have the US politics happening right now. In 2016, in terms of the whole voting in the US, I recognized that people were making decisions based on not feeling heard versus feeling heard. And at the time I was facilitating groups and teams using listening techniques that were having huge impact, but I didn't talk about listening.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, oh, maybe I need to start highlighting this. And that's kind of when the whole, my whole, this listening alchemy kind of came to me one day because I didn't know where to focus. Empathy, deep listening, active listening, where do I focus? It was too small for me. And the word listening alchemy, even though I don't know that much about alchemy, opened it because it opened my a door for me because I could play and experiment and I wasn't limited to one type of listening. What I was interested in more is what are the overall conditions needed, no matter what type of listening is needed or whatever we do, because sometimes, depending on the situation, we have different ways of listening, right? And so that's when I started doing the listening labs and experimenting and playing with groups. And I did loads and loads and loads across culture, all different situations across cultures and business with married couples, with students, with everything. And there were very common patterns. People are human when it comes down. Once you get past a certain level, people are human. And there are certain conditions that impact. So when you ask why does listening power matter to me? Yes. And then I started also the Listening Superpower podcast and interviewing people. And so I've been really lucky to be in contact with a lot of researchers and a lot of people who devote a lot of time and energy to listening and what works and what doesn't. And I can tell you right now, there's a lot we don't know. And we're figuring it out. And we're just starting to fully understand the power of listening. And for anybody who thinks they already know it, you've already blocked yourself from the potential of listening. And listening, so what we do know is that what impacts the listening the most is what you and I are doing right now, and that's one-on-one listening, the diet, the pair, and who you're listening to that has the largest impact on listening. And there will be people we listen well to and others that we won't. So you may be a good listener, or I may be a good listener in certain situations, but not in other situations. And there are certain, and as well as we are well-intentioned and we think listening is good, actually, when it comes down to it, we never learned how to listen in an effective way. We don't have that in school. And even active listening can get in the way of powerful listening. And because people are looking for the words or their focus, so they miss out on a lot of the other stuff and they're not fully present. They're in their own mind analyzing things, right? So finding ways that people can interact in twos, but also finding structures. And as much as we want to listen, actually, we don't do it as well as what we think. So training is important. And that is just, there's not that much out there. Also, that's been empirically tested, which is just starting. And then finding structures like listening circles that support the listening being possible to happen. Because as much as people say they want to do it, they don't actually do it as well as they think. And so structures can be very helpful. And then you take things at a higher level, you know, where you're listening at scale through surveys and focus groups or what's not said. And well, I don't know. This is a question. Like, how are we listening to what's not being said in social media or what's not being said in these things? I think we still have a long ways to go there because that's actually where probably there's a lot of good stuff. So yes, the power of listening, and it's very big.
I will try to wrap up with what I've heard. So you started, you observed that you have heard that there's a typical kind of behavior in organizations, in leadership. So they give themselves as a leader a functional structure, how they want to prepare for a meeting, and then they go through their agenda, and actually they are sending and they don't do listening. And you studied this topic of listening, interpersonal communication, so therefore your awareness were directed to what's happening between people when we do the things different and starting to listen and creating spaces where we are heard. You mentioned the election in 2016 in the US. And I'm curious right now because what you are describing is actually you have this kind of observations how leaders behave, let's say in typically, and you see that there's something we could do different by listening to each other and creating this one-to-one situations and creating the kind of structure how we want to communicate and listen to each other in groups and organizations. And from my own experience, and I think you may have made the same experience, is that this changed something in the in the space where people are and will experience in this kind of space when you create this listening circles and something similar. And I'm curious about what you experienced in this kind of labs you have mentioned, and what is different at the end or during the process. And I guess this makes you, when you experience that, also very exciting about that.
Yeah. So I'll answer you, but right now I'm like, I wonder what you experience. So I know you're interviewing me, so I'll share first. But so with the listening labs, so I love to play.
Mm-hmm.
And I really believe that if you can lighten things up and make it playful, the chance of change is much higher. And when there's no expectation of outcome, the chances that outcome is higher happens. So in terms of listening labs, there's lots of very playful techniques, and some are very short, some are a little bit longer, lots of different ways where usually when people come in and you ask them how they think of listening, what they would say, what they say at the beginning is very different than what they say at the very end, how they experience it. So we usually come in thinking about listening from our own experience, or what our last, or maybe our last experience of listening, the most current one that we had, that's what we have in our mind. Mm-hmm. But then to ask people, you know, so if you think about listening that helped you, you know, it helped you to have an aha moment. It helped you become clear. It helped you to make a decision. When someone listened to you that really helped you, then what is one word that you would describe that made that listening helpful?
Clarification.
For you, it's clarification. Okay, cool. So if you have a group of 90 people, there will be 70 different answers. Mm-hmm. Clarification, empathy, present, no judgment. You know, there's so many different answers. And so when you ask people that, and then you have people talk to each other briefly in 1 minute where they're really listening to each other and what that word means, because clarity even can be very different from one person to the other. Mm-hmm. Even that word clarity will depend on their experience of what clarity means. So for example, if I ask that question, you have that mind, there's a group of 90 people, I have people go in pairs, and for 1 minute, one person will share what that word means while the other person listens, they swap, then they move to another person, do the same thing, you know, and it could be the word changes. So you do that a few times, 3-4 times. And then in the end, you have everyone pick the word that's really the word they want to, that matters to them, the word that comes up to them now, because it could be clarity shifts to some other word after listening to others and after sharing your word. Could be it's still the same. And then
what came up now for me is understanding.
Understanding, see? So in those few moments, we change each other. We help each other even get more clear. And then if everyone in that room, whether it's on Zoom or in person, and everyone just goes around and what I like to call a word wave, where everyone shares their word, all of a sudden listening gets huge. And that's in 6 minutes, 7 minutes, 10 minutes max. And all of a sudden, it's so much more than what people thought in the beginning. And that opens a door to exploration and being open to understand it even better after that. And that's just one little tiny example.
And my experience is that this kind of setups creates also connection between the people. Instead of separation, what we can observe in the typical meeting structures, hierarchically organized setups. And yeah, this is my experience.
Yeah.
And then the kind of safe space opens up where all the potential can start to flow and to evolve and to raise out of the group, you know?
Yeah. 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 And what you're saying is really important, because there's a mixture of one-on-one connection, but there's also this group connection, this collective connection, this something. Everyone's has a little bit different word, but it all is one thing. So we all have something common, and to recognize that within that there's more, it's much, there has a lot more different layers. There's, you know, a little bit bigger. It's important to pay attention to. And, you know, often when we have these situations like you're talking about where we're impacted, we're often on to the next thing after. We don't really pause just for a moment to notice the impact. So as a leader, if there's a word like clarity or, hey, nobody's, you know, they're not understanding me or whatever these tensions that come up, if you take a moment and do that same exercise, but with the word understanding, what does understanding mean? Or you have people like take a moment just to do that. Then you start getting clear. What does understanding mean? What do I need to feel to be understood? What is it that's missing? And what is it that we already have? So then we start narrowing and focusing down to where we can focus our attention instead of it being so, yeah, it's, it just can't grab it in German. What do you say? Graspa.
I guess I know
greifbar,
what you mean.
Greifbar.
Yeah, to make
greifbar.
It. Yeah. Yeah.
This is nicht so greifbar. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. You know, I often hear, even doing very simple situations on really challenging topics where they, you know, take turns listening first, you know, for a few, 3 minutes, 4 minutes, you know, reflect their understanding, then take turns just doing that. Yeah. Often you'll hear the feedback, oh, you know, why don't we usually don't take this time to even listen to each other. And all of a sudden they're clear before, and it doesn't take that long. So people think listening takes time, but if you do it well, it's so impactful. You save so much time.
It's good invested time, I would say. And because of this, I do it in every meeting I have. I invite the people to start with a check-in so that everyone can share how he's feeling, how is his or her own being in that moment in the, at the beginning of the meeting, so that we all, everyone has a sense of how every individual is there and how the group is there and what the people and group needs to contribute to the topic of the meeting. And my experience is that that creates effectiveness, so that you have a return of time invest because of this.
And when you say it helps effectiveness, how do you understand effectiveness?
You know, for me, in a meeting, it's important that we have a clarity about we want to talk, why we meet, what expected outcome we want to reach. For example, is it about sharing information, clarification of questions, maybe decision making, something like that. And if we have checked in, people can express what they need from the meeting, for example. And if we know that in advance and we have clarity about we need to talk in the next minutes, and my experience is if groups does not do that, and they start to talking about, and then they make it not greifbar. They don't know, because they have not the understanding about why they meet, and they start to greifbar and they are not focused on. And if they start with this check-in where they listen to each other, what kind of wishes and requests they have for the meetings, then they are very focused. And then you maybe need 30 minutes instead of 90 minutes for the meeting to fulfill all the need, which is the reason for the meeting, you know?
Yeah.
For example, what I usually experience is they meet, they just jump in, one person starts, for me, it's important that blah, 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 blah. Then they talk 1 hour about the topic with any kind of structure and awareness about why we meet. And then they wonder, we just talked, but we haven't moved one step ahead, you know? So this is, and at the end, I invite the people to have a checkout too, to reflect how was it and what we would do again in the next meeting, what we want to do different and what was fulfilling and not fulfilling or fulfilled. Yeah. But I have another question to you. You know, I want to focus on you. When you create this kind of spaces where people start to listen to each other, and then you can experience and observe this kind of shift and higher awareness, connectionness, and what does it make with you?
How does it impact me?
Yes.
When I see that happening, or when I'm in that?
What does it mean to you, actually? Because I guess there's a deep reason for you why you're doing that?
Oh my gosh, yeah. When I see people's eyes light up or they have these aha moments, and they don't have to be big. Often the small aha moments are the most important and have the most impact, Then I get excited. I can feel, yeah, I get excited. That inspires me, that motivates me. And I'm like, because when that magic is there, because to experience what you're talking about, connection, to experience people being energized, even if listening can be intense and they're a little bit tired afterwards, because it's really, it takes a lot of focus. But that tiredness is like you've exercised and you feel good afterwards, that kind of feeling. Like I think to myself, why don't we have more of that where we're lifting each other up? Why do we always have to be putting one person down while I go up? And in the end, I don't feel good about how I did it. Whether I admit to that or not is a whole different thing, Or if in the end I don't have people to support me, or I've pushed everyone away and I don't have those close friendships and I'm in trouble, right? So I think I really believe that it is possible for us to lift each other up. I remember talking to on one of my podcasts to a teacher called Sharif, and he's in the US and really trying to get more Black teachers into schools. And I remember him talking about the ladder, climbing up the ladder and bringing others with you. And so it's a similar concept. And I'm like, you know what? That's totally true. So that kind of concept, I really love inclusive or leadership where we're really bringing people in to catalyze people working together. As leaders, we have to kind of protect a little bit, and we have to pave open doors for people. We have to, wherever there's blockers or whatever, but at the same time to empower people and empower. I love empowering people to work together, because I think there is a deep need in all of us to belong. Some people need more time with people than others, but we all kind of want that belongingness to be there. We all want to have our voice heard, and we can do that together, not at the sacrifice of one or the other. And when that's possible, it's amazing how that people get really energized. So I'd love to see more of that. I'd love to influence that more. And I've seen, the higher you get up in organizations, the more people are kind of in their bubble and they don't realize the impact that's happening. Unfortunately, my hope is, because I've worked a lot with younger leaders, because in the tech world you have, a lot of younger people, and I hope that even if not everybody, even at the director or at a higher level, I mean, you do have people that work there, but it's a little bit harder to work with that group, or they think they already do good listening. Let's put it this way. They think I already do that, which is not always the case. But if you, I'm hoping that a lot of the leaders that I've been working with over the last few years, that they're getting actually to those positions, and then that will start influencing culture in a big way. So that's my hope and my excitement.
And when that happens, what is fulfilled for you?
What is fulfilled for me?
What is your good reason to contribute to that?
I sometimes wonder about my drive in this topic. I'm like, why do I feel like I have to do this? I sometimes question that, because I've spent a lot of energy helping a lot of people, and sometimes I don't always, take care of myself in the way that I do others, which I'm trying to pay a little bit more attention to. What's my drive? There's probably some subconscious thing there that I'm fully not aware of. I think a lot of it comes probably from something, how we grew up, our experiences in life. I'm not a psychologist to go into that, but I do come from divorced parents and was kind of a mediator. I did grow up in two different cultures, so my reality was that there are different realities, and that's normal. And I would adapt from one reality to the other between Puerto Rico and the Latin culture, very different. And then being in Ohio, where it was very white, and I didn't even recognize that until later, to be honest, because it was just normal. That was just normal for me. And then now living in Germany, and I remember when I first started working in the chemical industry and corporate communications, and I'd be with my colleagues at the cantina eating lunch, and something would be said, and everybody would be saying, "Genau, genau, genau," yes, agreeing. And I remember thinking, really? Like, to me, I'd never had that experience before. So that was the cultural thing. And Maybe part of my drive is just from my experience of recognizing that there's a lot of ways to perceive the world and there's not a lot of right or wrongs, but how can we pay attention to those different ways, and what are the parts? I think that listening is through effective listening, not active listening, but effective listening. I do think it's possible to go beneath the iceberg and get to the part that's the basic human needs, and from there to work from there. I do think it's possible. I work with so many different cultures, and I often get asked about how to communicate with different cultures. But when they're listening to each other, eventually the culture kind of dissipates and they're human with each other. And this is the part, yeah, that's the part I love, because then we can just be. We can be ourselves and get things done. You know? Yeah. I don't know if that answers your question.
Yes, somehow. What I got is, one interesting point for me is that you told me that some minutes ago, you came into this different cultures with different language, and you had to listen with your body instead of what listen to voice, And I guess I got that it was important for you to get into contact with the human beings around you and to have an entrance to the belonging to the group and to the context where you are.
Yeah, it could be. I was just thinking back, when I first started working, I worked at Cognos, which eventually was bought out by BASF. And I want to tell you, I love the boss that hired me. She's amazing, because not only was she so open-minded to take on someone like me, and she was excited about having someone like me who's different than others, but she also, not only me, but the team, really challenged us to grow in big ways, and she was an amazing listener. So I learned a lot from the way that she leads and listening, Like, I never went to a performance review or a meeting where she would speak first. She would always have me speak first. And I was aware of this, and I would try to get her to speak first, but she wouldn't do it. She would always listen to me first. Anyway, but I remember when I first started, and that was before I, understood German or could speak German in the same way that I do now, I had to be more prepared. I was probably paying attention to where people eyes lit up, the nonverbals. At that time we had more meetings in person. What the tone of voice, the eyes lighting up. I'd try to pay attention to my interpretation of things. I listened more probably than I spoke, and I would always check in with my understanding, sometimes during the meeting, sometimes afterwards. So I was always really paying attention, not only taking my perspective, but checking my perspective. And so I got into the habit of that just for survival reasons and to do good at my job, But now that I look back, I was not the loudest person in the room. I wondered, I'm like, I'm not the best communicator for different reasons in terms of speaking. But so why is it that I'm able to be successful in my job? And why is it that there's politics being played in this projects with my colleagues, and why aren't those politics being played in my projects? Things like this, and not fully, not the same level. And I think, looking back, it was because I had spent a lot more time listening and making sure that different voices were heard. And I think that's what brought why that happened. I can't say it was because I talked all the time and I was the best speaker at all. That was not my strength.
And in the meetings, they spoke German. Or
So in the beginning, when I first moved, they would do a lot in English, but eventually it quickly turned to German. Once my German was good enough, then we went to German.
okay.
And in the beginning, I spoke more English. Eventually I spoke more German. I began to learn that when you're living in another culture, people are much more critical of your written language than your spoken language. And so, depending on who was in the room and how should I say this, the power that I had to have to get things done on what language I would speak. And because there was a few times at the beginning of my career where people perceived me as not smart or dumb just because I made some typos and mistakes or I couldn't speak exactly. And when I saw that there were some people who were used that, then I would dive quickly into the English to take care of that and make sure that this wasn't an excuse for something not to happen. And it's too bad that that happens, but it happens, you know, so I had to pick and choose my language depending on the type of person in the room or what was going on.
I see. Yeah.
At the time.
I see the gift in the situation, you know, because of this, let's say, language barrier, your solution was to listen, and that became a strength somehow, and it has an impact in your circumstances with the people, what you could notice afterwards of that time, right?
Yeah, for sure. And I still have a lot of very close relationships with my colleagues from that time. A lot of trust. And even, it's so funny, the team, I was just thinking about the team when I first went to, and this is a funny story. So when I enjoy people, and if I meet someone that I think there's a nice connection, you know, make efforts to maybe have another conversation. And I remember when I first started working, I met this really nice lady. I asked her for coffee. We went to lunch. I wasn't even thinking about her role or her title. She was the assistant to the CEO.
And you just saw the human being, right?
I just saw the human being. Yeah. So we went to coffee. Later on, I found out that people thought I was just trying to get to the CEO.
There you see the intention agenda.
So, yeah. And that came afterwards when people recognized, no, this is just Raquel. But I see people as people. I don't care what your level of hierarchy is, whether you're an intern, whether you're the CEO, the CTO, whatever. I see people as people. And that has also been my strength.
And this leads me to the point you mentioned before. You talked about effective communication. I think I got you right. That means for you, if we communicate effective, then we begin to see each other as human beings. We open the door to see each other. Yeah.
Like, for example, I can go back to you and your story about your team and what you do with your team, which is really powerful. It's very simple, but it's very powerful.
Yeah. You mean
having
check-in.
A check-in and a check-out, this completes a circle. There's a beginning and an end. And not only that, but the check-in creates an anchor for your team to be present.
Yeah, like
and to
ritual.
Really be intentional.
Yeah.
And the checkout is also to be intentional with our behaviors, with what we're doing. I wish I knew where this was, but there was some source that said that people don't feel like they've landed in a meeting until their voice is heard. So even that quick check-in, then people land and then they're there.
Exactly.
And that presence and creating the place where people are really present and not wherever they were a few minutes ago is huge. And the checkout gives people a chance to close that up so they don't carry that with them into the next meeting.
Exactly.
It's huge.
That's kind of micro hacks and culture. I would say culture rituals instead of tools, And what does it mean for you when you see a human being or you experience through listening in groups or in one-to-one that the people and you beginning to see each other as human? What kind of impact has it to you? What does it mean to you? How do you feel then? What is the magic for you?
You mean once we are connecting at a human level?
So I guess that this will emerge when you create this kind of setups and labs and so on, or even in teams.
You know, I think there's different layers to your question. You know, I'm someone that likes to focus. I really enjoy being in the present moment and yet taking things into the future. I love thinking strategically. I love seeing how that thinking big picture and how that connects to the day to day. You know, so I'm always I don't know why, but I'm always thinking in groups. I'm always thinking in big things. So even when I'm talking to you now, I do recognize there's a lot of people listening. And I'm thinking, you know, what would be, I know that part of this podcast is to really listen to me, but at the same time, what can I bring of value to the group about listening? So I do recognize that in this moment, that's always with me. And what I really, maybe I should ask you, do you want me to talk about the listening labs or do you want me to talk about when I'm working with a team? Because those are two separate contexts. And I realize I'm thinking it different ways and they're different.
It's a third aspect I would focus on. My question is about what is needed to be able to see each other as a human being.
That's a deep question.
And when you begin to see each other, how does it feel for you?
Okay. When you said the question in that way,
Yeah.
I had a couple of faces of conversations that I had with certain people. So I have a colleague who's on the board with me for a certain for a nonprofit organization. And I've just seen her as a person and this amazing, competent, experienced, full of heart, get things done kind of person. You know, I just enjoy working with her and I see how, and I just experienced her as a really great colleague to work with, or even as a person, even before we started working together as a colleague. Great conversations. I saw the effort she put into things. Anyway, she ended up getting voted into the leadership. And I supported that. Didn't think anything of it. There were two people who were being voted, I guess, against each other. But as the president of that organization at that time, I actually, before the voting went to play, asked them to have a conversation together where all three of us, where we had this conversation that no matter who won, they both believed in the power of listening. They both had the really good intentions. So we had this beautiful conversation that they, where they connected so that no matter who won, they would support each other. Right. So that it wasn't, so it was a healthy, like a healthy competition. And in the end, they were all striving for the best. And in the end, it's been a beautiful relationship. They are so close. It's really amazing. So she ended up getting voted in. Currently on this board, we have the most diverse board ever in the history of this organization. I didn't think about that at the time. I saw her as a person. It wasn't until other people came to me afterwards and, oh, finally, someone, you know, with this culture, this background was voted in. I'm like, oh, I didn't even think about it. I was just seeing her as a competent person. Right? Fast forward a few years later, I had a conversation with her a long time about her experience from years ago. And her sharing her story. And at that moment, I'm like, oh my gosh, I did not fully understand the context of who she is as a person and what she, the resilience she has, and why even being in this role is even much bigger than I ever imagined. So, back to your question, in that moment, I'm like, oh gosh, there's so much that I don't know about each person. We don't know each other's stories. We don't know like what has brought people to why they're putting this effort into these situations and why they're doing what they're doing. We only get a glimpse of that. We don't really have the full picture. And if I look back at my role, all I was doing was seeing a person as a person. I wasn't doing anything else. And yet, just by doing that, had a much larger impact than what I realized. Another person comes to mind, someone that was coaching at more at the beginning of their career in the tech industry, where they were having challenges with a performance review where their boss had filled in information about them that wasn't really their voice, but it was seen in the performance review as their voice, and they didn't know what to do. Because their boss is a person of power. So we help work through that. And fast forward years later, where she's in a, you know, director role, having an amazing impact on other people. And part of that is at that time, I remember our conversation where I remember asking, well, what's important to you? Like what you're important to me. And she's like, oh, healthy team communication. And we're like, well, focus your energy there instead of focusing your energy on what's not working. She shifted her energy focus. And I've seen her do amazing things in her career. So that had nothing to do with me. That just in that moment of being present, seeing people as people, where they're struggling, and then what's also important to them, you know, she got clear. And then that clarity, you know, just, I mean, there was a lot of, it wasn't something that happened from one day to the other, right? That was a process, and it wasn't always easy. But I think if we're there for each other in that way, if I think for myself, one of my mentors, Abby Kluger, who's one of the most respected listening researchers in the field, but every time we speak, he doesn't talk, he listens. I mean, we take turns listening to each other, but he walks the talk. And I remember him asking me a similar question of what you're asking about the magic, that when I was excited and sharing the story with him, and he's like, well, what if you bring that magic to your son? I was like, oh, that question years later is still with me, and I still struggle with it. I don't always bring the magic to my son, but I've had to grow in that area. So he saw me as a person. He didn't see me. He saw me as a mother in that moment and knew what mattered to me. So those are three examples. So we really don't realize the impact we have on each other in those moments, but they're moments of change, and they change us in deep ways. And even in your team meetings, you don't realize the impact that you have. You're only getting the surface level. And I'm sure at a deeper level, there's more going on.
It is. When I'm listening to you, what comes up in my mind is a description like, listening is seeing. We started about talking about listening and the power of listening. And through that, we begin to see as such each other as human beings, who we are.
Seeing is, you know, I'm going to take it another level. I wonder if listening is experiencing
each other or myself.
Because seeing is distant, but actually in that moment, we're having an experience where it's just not one person or the other, but this moment is impacting both of us.
And now I would like to make it one step more deeper.
Yes.
You know, when I ask you the question, what is needed to begin to see each other or experience each other as human beings? For me, it's very important to be non-judgmental so that I don't think about you, how you are, or don't compare you with something. So all judgments can go, and also disable all the labels maybe I have when I start to focus on a person with the intention to experience a person how she or he is. And this is the reason why I come to the point that then seeing begins for me, because then I experience the other person. I begin to see what the true potential of this human being, and the talents begin to become visible for me because the person shows up with it. And my experience is this kind of listening experience creates trust, so that there's a safe space and also the courage to show it to and make it experienceable for the group. Then things happen so easily, and you can just trust into this field of energy where people are being heard and listened, that things who wants to be happened, and abilities and talents you need will be there. You know, the people will pick and pull tasks they need to be done for the whole, and even requests from the outside, from the surrounding and environment, comes to the group because they see, oh, there are the talents and abilities we need to fulfill something or to create an impact. This is my experience.
And what does that do to you then in that moment?
Oh, it makes me happy. Like the emphasizer makes me happy too, because it's ease and flow then. And, you know, then I started to experience this connection, and my ego disappears somehow. It becomes an echo, and I can sense I can value my talents and my being, and I can experience which part I have in this eco, in the whole, and even the other parts of the systems are experienceable for me. And this creates some ease, and this kind of energy creates this basic trust and sense. You know, some of that.
Yeah. I think what you're saying is so important. Can you tell that listening is in the space, in the room? And we're fully present, like really in that moment. And you're right, without the fears, the judgments, and this type of thing, they take a little break. And there is a sense of ease.
Yeah.
There is a sense of ease. And it doesn't mean that even if there's challenges and there's conflicts, there's still a sense of ease to work through that.
Exactly.
You know, then it's a different one. It's like energizing, you know, we'll figure this out, you know, it's a whole different story. Yeah. A whole different experience.
And then it's not anymore about things have to be done. It's more about what wants to be done.
You know, the one thing that is helpful to be aware of, or has helped me also to recognize, that listening happens in moments. We cannot listen all the time fully in that way. It's just not possible. But it happens in moments, and some moments are longer, like now, and some moments might be shorter. And when I say listening, we're talking about this non-judgment, this fully present, this space where we're actually changing each other in this moment, right? And whether you're the listener or the speaker, where we're just like, it's like just a space, you know, that's happening right here. At some point in time, someone will make a joke, or you'll have another thought, or someone will interrupt or whatever. And usually what happens is that, because when it's this effective listening is happening, that we are change, the change is happening. Avi thinks that our systems can only change so much at once in a moment. And so sometimes it'll stop so we can pause, and then we can do it again, you know? So it could mean that even in a meeting, there's multiple moments. I call those waves that happen. It could be that it's spread out over time, but just to recognize that it's just good to be aware of that, because when the moment is kind of over, know that the moment can start again. That sometimes it's okay to have a little pause, and that pause is like settling for the next moment. But that's part of also being human, which I think is really, really interesting.
And in every moment we can learn, and over the time, through all this learning, there is a development, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I think I got you, and I have the feeling of this connectedness, and I sense the energy, which, if you listen empathically, the energy which usually arises. And I would like to bring it to an end for this moment. And
for this wave.
Yes. And maybe there's something last you would like to share. And then my final question is, how was it for you to be here in the Empsider podcast and being heard and listened?
So I think I'll start with your last question first.
Okay.
Yeah, it has been really nice to be here, to be listened to. Let's just say that was it was good for me to be here, and I needed that today. So
nice.
And no, I say that seriously. It was really, I appreciate your thoughtfulness and your presence, your peace that you bring into the conversation, your thoughtful questions. And I recognize, you know, I when you say we recognize each other's talents, I can imagine that you bringing this to your team has a huge impact on the people around you, and really nice. And I hope we have more, more of that. And I hope that I'm sure there's a ripple effect from that. So thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a lot of thoughts. You asked me at the very beginning, I have lots of thoughts, and that's just because we all have phases in our lives where there's a lot of stuff going on. And this is one for me. And so a lot of these thoughts were coming through my mind, but in the end, it's very simple, and it can be brought down to the end of this podcast, which is, you know, the most important part is the quality that we're creating here in this moment. And from there, Starting from that point and then expanding out is probably a good reminder of that, you know, before we get too big. So you asked if there's anything else I wanted to say. I think I would love it if I also have a podcast called the Listening Superpower Podcast. I would love for people to check that out, to give feedback. There's a lot of very interesting stories and perspectives of people who are, you know, use listening in some capacity in ways that you probably might surprise you. And I try to role model the listening like you are in those podcasts. So please check out the podcast. Mm-hmm. I haven't done a lot of listening labs since the pandemic. Mm-hmm. Most of my energy was going into supporting my corporate clients in their work. Since everything went online, I am considering getting back into that. So mm-hmm. maybe down the road, we have to see you in Dusseldorf.
Yeah.
Maybe we could do a lab. And you know, you never know whether it's online or in person, but yeah. It would be really fun to do that because I realized talking to you, I miss some of that playfulness. I bring them into the workshop, but the playfulness of bringing all sorts of people together to do those things is so much fun. So thank you for inspiring that thought. It's really been a pleasure to be here with you, Sebastian.
Yeah, thank you very much too. And thank you that you let me experience you as a human being.
Thank you.
That was episode 77, The Power of Listening. If you like the podcast, please follow and rate it and share it with your friends on social media. And if you want to be heard with something or give me a feedback, write to me at podcast@empathieschenker.de. On that note, see you in 2 weeks.